two announcements. This coming Saturday, June 15th, E-Team will be going out 10:30 a.m. Brother Kwame will be sending out information as to where your meeting place will be. And I pray that you're having a blessed time out there as you're sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with whosoever is there to hear. Your labor and your preaching, your words of witnessing are not in vain, because you're giving people the opportunity to receive eternal life. People who are dead in trespasses and sins, many of them are backslidden. They once served the Lord, but then they turned away from God. You've tasted of the goodness of God, and there is no turning back. And all they got to do is stay on track with God, and they'll find, too, there's no turning back, because there's nothing to go back to except the mire and the vomit. And we don't want to do that, not when we got precious gems and we got gold and silver. We got, I'm talking about the heavenly things, not the earthly things. We got wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We got growth and maturity and the faith. Our lives are to be a witness and a testimony unto God, unto his good works. The scripture says that he has, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hallelujah. We are his workmanship. Hallelujah. And we want to display God's glory, the work that he's doing in our lives individually and collectively. I want to thank each and every one of you who were out for the council meeting last night here in the city of Antioch. Amen. Especially thanks to those who went down and spoke on behalf of not only representing the ministry of TFT, but also representing the kingdom of God and speaking truth and love to the people that were there. They went ahead and did what they did, and we're not moved by that because, you know, it's just a symbol, if you will. But our hearts grieve in the sense that people are so hardened in their sin that they no longer recognize it as sin. We're living in the times that Paul talked about, even in his time, the days were beginning. Men being lovers of themselves and haters of God, if you will, you know, rebelling against parents and all of those things that Paul instructs Timothy on. And so we see wickedness. They call good evil and they call evil good. And so the grieving is that they don't know that their soul is at stake. And though man has changed his mind about things, God has not changed his mind. And we've seen God as loving Father, merciful, and gracious, and Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. But the next time he comes, as the scripture says, he's coming apart from sin unto salvation. He's not coming in order to die on a cross again. He's coming, and he's coming as judge. And judgment has been placed in his hand by the Father. And so he's going to judge the world. And the world will endure the wrath of God, which is we wish upon no one, because there's no chance there's no turning. There's no way of escape. It's final, and it's final for eternity. It's not final for a moment. It's not like a match, as some say, a match in that it just burns itself out. It's an eternal flame, just like we'll be in eternal glory. They will be an eternal flame. They will be perishing forever. And you might say, well, how can that be? You know, our carnal minds can't fathom that. Our human nature can't grasp hold of that. You can't see how a loving God would want to punish someone for eternity, if you will. But God loves us, and he's provided the way of escape. He's provided the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so the Father has demonstrated his love and manifested his love, and it's for anyone and everyone to receive. But if people don't receive it, just because they die does not mean God changes his mind. We have to do it while we're alive, while we still have breath in our body. We have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can't wait till we die and do it. We can't, you know, if they didn't do it when they were alive, you can't push them into heaven. It's not our say-so whether they go to hell or whether they go to heaven. It is God's say-so. But the Lord gave us authority. Whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We can speak to them and say that you're saved if they do what's necessary to be saved. We can speak to them and say, you will be condemned. Not that we condemn you, but you condemn yourself by not repenting of your sins. And you will be condemned for all eternity. And that's not a good place to be for an individual. We all were once under the judgment of God, but we have, through the love and grace and mercy of God's gift of salvation to us, we have received the Passover lamb, and the death angel has to pass over us, and he can't touch us because we're covered in the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are saved for eternity to the glory of God. And we want to live like that now. We don't want to wait till we die to start living like God wants us to live. We want to live like that right now. Hallelujah. We want to experience heaven while we're here on earth. I mean, if we can experience hell while we're here on earth, we might as well experience heaven. Some people believe that we're in hell now. Well, I believe I'm in heaven now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm living that life to the best of my spiritual ability and might with all my heart and soul, and I enjoy it. And it ain't about me, but you ought to say, me too. I'm enjoying my life and my walk and my relationship with God. I'm enjoying heaven right now. When I get there, praise God, it's going to be glorious, but I'm going to enjoy some of it right here on earth, because what God gave me for right now is for right now, and everything in this word for me is for right now. Hallelujah. So, anyways, the drug lords, praise God, the drug lords of Antioch decided to pass the resolution in order to hang the flag for the people so that they can feel good about themselves. As I told the reporter today, and that's not going to make a difference. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not going to make a difference in raising their flag. You can't force people to accept or to like you. You can't. And I told them, I'm an African-American. I can't force people to like me. You know, people who don't like black people, I can't force them to like me. I can live a life that reflects my God. I can live the life that I desire to live, but I can't force people. And if they don't like me, that's their problem. It's not mine. I like me. How about you? You like you? Praise God. I like me. I like improvement. Amen. But I like me as who God has made me to be, and I'm content in that. And so you don't need anybody to, place value on you in the sense of, you know, anybody to try and pump you up or make you feel good about yourself. No, you have to be content with who you are in Christ Jesus and be thankful. And, you know, there's always room for improvement, room for growth, and room for maturity, if you will. But, you know, you can't force people. So, you know, even, you know, whether they say it's inclusive or not, it's inclusive for them, but it's division for others. Because you try and force somebody to do something that they don't want to do, that don't bring peace. It brings more friction. And animosity, if you will. And so to try and impose that on a person or shove it in their face, if you will, you're not going to bring about the peace. So anyways, there were some believers that spoke up. Sister Lauren spoke up. Minister Patton spoke up. Sister Diana spoke up. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. They know us. They when I say they know us, I don't say it like, you know, we're trying to build a name for ourselves, but they know who we represent and what we are about as the people of God. And we have work to do. The reporter was like, well, we're here. And it's amazing how they're not there at the meeting, but they get all of these swirling rumors of what took place. And they're like, well, I hear that somebody's going to do something. What are you guys going to do? Are you going to, like, file a lawsuit or something like that? I said, well, that was another individual who spoke on that issue, and if they follow through with it, then, you know, that's on them. And then it's like, what about the ones where you guys were praying at the poll? I said, that was another group that was praying near the poll while the people were there. I said, I believe, I'm not certain because I wasn't a part of that group, but I agree with them in praying. And that is that I believe they would be praying for God's mercy to come down upon Antioch because of the decisions that they're making. And the decisions that they're making don't reflect the entire community. It just reflects a certain group. I call them drug lords because they, you know, we now have dispensaries in this city where they can sell recreational marijuana and all, and people are divided on that. The church shouldn't be divided on anything that has to do with darkness. You know why? Because we're light. We're light. Hallelujah. How can you get darkness when you're in the light and you are the light? You know, so the church needs to really rally together about what we believe and what we believe. I'm pointing to this, but it's electronic, but the Bible is on it. But I'll just hold this one up because it's a Bible. It's the B-I-B-L-E. This is the book for me. As Pastor Ross said, it is the oak of God planted in the forest of eternity, entwining its roots, wrapping them around the rock of ages, if you will. This is a Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I am being taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I will never, never, never be the same. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. It also says, this is the incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. I'm about to receive the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And so this will live forever, for eternity. And we need to wrap ourselves around the agreement of what the word of God says and not be lied to by people or by emotions. Because you may have a loved one that is in that lifestyle. And if they die in that lifestyle, they're going to perish. If they don't repent of their sinful nature, we have to repent. We have to repent of fornication, adultery, idolatry, thievery. We have to repent of drunkenness, revelry. We have to repent of those sins that we commit. If we don't repent, they are unconfessed sins that still hover over us, if you will, and we'll be judged by that. But if we repent, and as the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if a sinner doesn't want to be cleaned, they can't be forgiven. And if they can't be forgiven, they will be judged. And it's not because God hates them. It's because God loves them. But he's a righteous God. And so with that being said, they passed it and they hung the flag up. But we keep our heads up high in that sense. It's not a defeat for us. It's a loss for them. We give them an opportunity to have life, and they choose death. Jesus says he's the light, and, you know, light has come into the world, and the world loved darkness more than the light, and he says, because their deeds are evil. So with that being said, that was the thing. So we're not downhearted. I'm not. I hope I don't sound like I am, but what it is that more determined to make changes in the city. And so when the reporter asked me today, you know, what are you going to do? Because they heard the rumor about that. I said, well, 2020 is right around the corner. So we have to look for leaders who will represent us all. And if we don't, politicians will say anything, do anything. This is why we got Donald Trump, because people got tired of politicians making empty promises and then not fulfilling them. And people were upset with that. There were a lot of people that were upset. They even said during his campaign, he's tapped into the anger of people. Yeah, because people are fed up with a government that doesn't work for them. It's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, but it's not working for them. And so when it's not working, change comes in. That's how our democracy is set up, our republic is set up. Change comes in, and change comes in the voting booth. And so we register to vote, and then we get out and we vote. And we vote for people, not for just the person that's going to do everything that we say, if you will, but people who are going to do what is in the best interest of the country or the city, if you will, or the state, and they're not going to violate the will of God. Because government didn't come from man, it came from God. God established government, and he established it to be a terror to evil works. We know the difference between good and evil. We know the difference between wrong and right. We don't need somebody to come and tell us about that. We grow up and we learn and we know right from wrong. And when we see wrong, something needs to be done about the wrong. When we see right, we need to praise the right, if you will. Because we want to do what's right, we want to live right, and we want to enjoy the life that we have. Mankind is never going to reach that on his own. He's only going to reach it through Christ Jesus. So the scripture tells us when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. So we got to get some righteous people, some righteous Christians who will engage and get involved in government. Yeah. We can't just let them just do their own thing. It's like, no, they're getting nuts. As Minister Killings was sharing, I don't know if it was a couple of weeks ago or not, but when he was sharing that Bible study a couple of weeks ago, Word Alive, and he talked about the mushroom thing, because that's going to be the next thing. And since the drug lords of Antioch School, and not the school board, the city council, since the drug lords have already done the marijuana thing, and they're trying to keep pace, and they're trying to keep up, and they're trying to stay current, because that's why they went ahead and did the rainbow flag, one of them said. You know, why you guys are so, like, far behind, if it wasn't his exact words. But it was like, to keep up with everybody else, they passed it. So now they're passing mushrooms. Now, some of you probably have no clue. The only mushrooms you know about is what you eat in your food. But, you know, mushrooms are hallucinogenic, some of those wild mushrooms, if you will. And it's like Jesse Duplantis said, you know, I'd go on trips and still be in the same room. You know, they just psychedelic type of drugs that they used, especially back in the 60s and all. But people are using those. And all of a sudden now it's a health cure for the mentally unstable people. Health cure, nothing. Man, I didn't do mushrooms. But it was popular as I was growing up as a teenager and young adult. And so there were those who did mushrooms, and everybody that did mushrooms wasn't mentally unstable before they were doing it. They might have became mentally unstable after doing it. Some went way off on a tangent and things. But, you know, it's like, now they want to legalize this. I think it's Colorado or somewhere in Denver, they've done it. Now is it Oakland who's considering it? They're considering it. And see, the stuff goes like a wave. And what do? We just stay in our own little room and, you know, or our own little home, or we come to our church and we just let it go on. And it makes it that much more difficult to win these individuals to Christ Jesus, because more and more junk is being put into their systems and ways and habits of living that it just makes it that much more difficult in preaching the gospel to them and seeing their need. Because if society legalizes things, it's like, well, it's not illegal, it's not unlawful, it's not a crime, if you will, but it's the behavior of the people. Interesting note, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but there was a deputy sheriff who was part of the LGBTQ community who took his own life, committed suicide. This is right in the midst of Pride. You heard about it, Sister Diana? Anybody else hear about it? Okay, keep your eyes up. You know, stuff is happening right around us. What's my point of bringing it up? See, they think that the more they put up their flag, the more they get the awareness and they teach it in the schools, that everything is going to be acceptable, and then we're just going to live happily ever after. It's like a LGBTQ utopia type of mindset and mentality, that once this gets out there, because they're tired of being in the closet, they're tired of being persecuted, they're tired of being beaten up, they're tired of being, you know, whatever happens to them, they're tired of being rejected by their families and loved ones, they want to make this normal. It will never be normal, because it goes against the laws of nature and it goes against God. So it'll never be normal. This is normal. You understand what I mean by that? This is normal. I not that I would ever want to change this, but I can't change this. Minister Patton can't change his. If he wanted to be black, he can't, you know, he can go and dye himself, but it would look crazy. You know, I can go and try and bleach myself, but I would look crazy, if you will. But it's like, no, be content in the body that you're in. Because people are even confused about their gender identity. And this is what's happening. So, you know, they want to make it so that, you know, because, you know, it's like the kids, so many of them are contemplating suicide because they're not being accepted. Well, this was a deputy sheriff in the midst of Pride Month, as they call it. Now, there was a time where the month of June was the month of marriage. And I want to say for straight people, but the only reason I say straight people is because now you have the community that has imposed their views and they've tried to take over this month, if you will. But it was a month of marriage. It was just a normal thing. Most people got married in the month of June. June was the wedding month, if you will. And so they claim that for them, if you will, as a month. And they call it pride. And they want to be accepted and they want everybody to just, you know, treat them like normal, if you will. Well, you could treat the individual as a normal individual, but you don't have to agree with the lifestyle. Yeah. And so they think that people, they will stop committing suicide, they will stop getting beat up and things like that, and sad to say, it's not going to stop, because what we're trying to exterminate, you can't. And we're trying to exterminate sin under different disguises. Because the root cause of all of the wickedness that goes on in the land is sin. Had we never sinned, the world would be so much better. Adam and Eve would still be on this earth. They'd be 6,000 some odd years old, but Noah and, you know, trying to think of some of the names, Lot, you know, there would have been no Sodom and Gomorrah, if you will, dot, dot, dot. David, King David, would, you know, Jesus wouldn't have had to come, if you will. But because they sinned, all of this stuff is happening and the wickedness that goes on. We hate each other. When I say we, I'm speaking in general, nobody in here. But we hate each other because of the sinful nature. We get angry with each other because of the sinful nature. All of the evil, all of the wrong that we do is because of the sinful nature. It's all directly tied to sin. And the only antidote for sin is Jesus. And in order to get the antidote, there first must be a repentance. You have to acknowledge you're wrong. We all have to. Nobody is excluded from this. Nobody is excluded from repenting of their sin. Jesus became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, how, you know, to what extent, what further extent must God do to show how much he loves us? A holy God sends his holy son through a holy seed into a virgin, and God watches over him in the womb, and God watches over him for the 33 and a half years he was on this, on the face of this earth. And then God had to see him suspended on that cross and turned his head, because his son, in fulfilling what they talked about even before the world was founded, had fulfilled it. And so he did all of that. He took sin upon him so that we could become the righteousness of God in him.
Woo!
Yeah. Put us in right standing and right position with the Father. Bridge the gap. Made us sons and daughters once again to Abba Father. And so we all have to come that way. That's why you can't say, you know, well, because they're homosexual, lesbian, or transgender, whatever, they're worse off. No, sin is sin. And we all need to repent of our sin. Yeah, so, you know, even people who, and in this day and time that we live in, you know, nothing's, very little is sacred anymore as far as the regard to how God ordained and established things and how precious they are in his sight and the regard and reverence for what he's established. Very little is considered sacred anymore. And so you have people who shack up, brag about it. You know, you're together with somebody for 10 years and you haven't said I do. It's like, that's mad. That's just ludicrous. What are you doing? Well, I just want to make sure that I'm ready. What's the 10 years for? What was that all about? We were just dating, doing everything that married people are supposed to do. But we have our priorities messed up, and, you know, relationship between a man and a woman is no longer considered as sacred as it ought to be. And we need to get back to the basics. So all of that came out of the church needs to come into agreement with the Word of God and what it says so that we're not divided, especially in these times that we live in. In these times that we live in. Because right now, you had one that got up and said, you know, well, she said she was a lesbian and that she, not these exact words, but, you know, she's a Christian, she's a Lutheran, not a good one, something along that lines. You remember what she said, Minister Patton? Something along that line. Not a good one, if you will. And it's like, okay, so what she's saying is that this is acceptable in the church. And we know that there are some believers, some denominations, some congregations that believe that the lifestyle is okay. They believe that. And the reason many of them do it is because, one, they've seen, I'll just say it like this, the injustice that they've had to endure for their lifestyle, if you will. But the other is they look at themselves or they look at others and say, well, we sin, and so we're all sinners, and so therefore. But it's like God commands all men everywhere. He put up with the foolishness long enough. This is what Paul said in the book of Acts. He put up with our foolishness long enough, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Jesus says we are to preach repentance in his name. What is repenting? Turning from the errors of our way, asking for forgiveness of our sins. Jesus goes so far as to say, if we don't forgive the sins of others or the trespasses of others, neither will our Father forgive us. That lets us know that forgiveness is necessary. It's necessary for us to be saved, and it's also necessary for us to forgive others so that we can be forgiven ourselves. So forgiveness is key. And forgiveness only comes through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because he has forgiven us, we forgive others. Yeah. And so the problem is that if you don't repent of sins, you can't be forgiven of sins that you don't repent of. That's why it behooves a believer to be quick to repent. Whenever you do wrong, Father, forgive me. And be sincere with it. Don't just say it just out of whim. Oh, forgive me, Lord. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, no, let there be some genuine repentance that produces the fruit of repentance and righteousness, being in right standing with God. Amen. So, believers need to come back to what the scriptures say and not be afraid of the controversy or the rejection. Because even if our loved ones, and, you know, a couple of years back, I did one of my cousins who I thought never would get saved. she was so hard. I was shocked when I found out she gave her life to the Lord. But she died. And at her homegoing service, I saw many of my cousins that they're like maybe the third or fourth cousins. They're You know, it's like my first cousin, then they had kids, and they had kids, and they had kids. So down in there, and so many of them were caught up into this LGBTQ lifestyle. It was sad to see and all. But it's like this, even if it's, and when I say this, my mother's in glory. But even if it was my mother that was in sin and she died in the sin, I couldn't change the outcome of where she would spend eternity. And this is what many of them say. Well, you know, I have one of the council members, my mother was gay. And so, you know, my daughters are on the front seat, my niece is on the front seat. And so their grandmother was gay. And, you know, inwardly it's like, what does that have to do with the situation? It does not change their outcome. And I'm not saying that to be rude or to be mean, but I'm bold enough to speak the truth in love. And it's not my truth, it's God's truth. And if I'm found out to be wrong, I quickly repent. But if I'm found out to be right, then you have to swallow that and take it. Because God does not hate us. He loves us, and he wants to save us. But he doesn't want to save us by deception, by truth. Truth is that which deals with final reality. It's the way it's going to truly end up. And so with that being said, we really have to, as believers, we really have to get involved more. You need to hold up Minister Killings for whatever God has in store for him. The 2020, he's running again. And so we want to support him in the city of Pittsburgh. He has to stand alone at times because he's dealing with people who are bowing to the pressure. And the thing of it is that he's convicted to do what is right, even while they are pressuring him to do something else. And so we need him to stay strong and stay untainted, unblemished, you know, and just continue to be speaking the truth to them, speak truth to power, be that example, be that light. Because they would say, well, this is not a religion. That's what I hate about many of these politicians now. They come to, I hope you don't mind me sharing with you right now. They come to us as the church to get our votes. And then they get in office, well, I can't do that because, you know, separation of church and religion and stuff like that. And it's like, well, what are your convictions based on? And then what about, because it's like, well, I have to represent all. Well, they just represented a small minority of people when they made that decision last night. But what about the Christians? What about the believers? We don't have a voice because the ones that say that, you know, they come to us to get our votes and all, they get up there, well, I can't do that because, you know, separation of church and state and it can't be a religious issue and stuff like that. And you represent, there are more Christians who serve God and don't engage in that lifestyle than there are those combined who get into that lifestyle, whether they be in the church or outside of the church. We outnumber them. There are more with us than there are with them. And so with that being said, it's like they get there and then they all of a sudden change. Well, we don't need anybody to change. As I told Minister Killings a while back, there's a group of people out there that you represent. There's a group of people that voted for you, that believe in what you believe. They have your convictions, and you represent them. So when they say, well, you know, you just represent. No, they're, I have, is it constituents or constituents? I have constituents out there who believe, I represent what they believe. They put me in office so that their voice could be heard. They didn't put me in office so that they put me in office so they would be heard and represented, if you will. Now, we're not sending Mr. Killing up there to preach the gospel to them, but if the door open, praise God, let it go. Let it rip. Praise God. But representing righteousness, doing what is right, doing what is in the best interest of the city. Dope is not good for the city. You hear what they have in L.A. right now, don't you? Now, they say because of the homeless population, and when they show it, it's like, and whether they say they're just showing one area, what have you, but there's so many out there, and they're living amongst their own feces and urine, and they're living in these tents, and rats, large rats, are crawling all over the place, and they said there's going to be, and already is, an outbreak of typhoid fever and other diseases that are breaking out, if you will, and that something needs to be done. So now they're going to have to send in the medical professionals to go down there and treat the individuals. They have to send the disposal companies and all to go out and clean out the area, but they can't clean out the area until they move the people. And if they can't move the people, then they can't clean it up, if you will. And so it's just madness. And this stuff is spreading all over California. And we have no conviction to say or do anything. So let's come to agreement about the Word of God and what it says. I know you do. I believe you do. I pray that you stay with it. But in this next election, we really got some, not only soul searching to do, but we got to find some candidates that are going to hold fast in the midst of all of the opposition and differences of opinions and views. They're strong in bringing forth their views. We need to be strong in bringing ours. Amen. So again, thanks to Minister Pat and Sister Diana and Sister Lauren. I don't know if there was anyone else. Sister Robriel, I'm sorry. Sister Robriel was there too. She spoke up as well. Thank you, Sister Robriel. Brother Sean, you sent an email? Is that what you sent? They read your email. And see, they shouldn't have left. In reading your email, I listened because I want to hear word. I don't want to hear Brother Sean. And I'm listening to the scriptures that you used. And it's with, I believe, conviction, because the mayor himself voted to approve. But he's reading what the scriptures that you put in there are saying. And do I have to read all of this? Do I have to read all of this? Because there was one that he read before that, and it was so long, it was past the time limit. And so he stopped that one. But yours was within the time limit. And so he's, do I have to read all of that? And it's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. He quoted scriptures. He told them he didn't hate them, but he just told them what God said in his word. And to God be the glory. And so there were other emails that came in. And if you send in emails or what have you, if you just prayed for the meeting, thank you. But we want change in our city. We want change in Pittsburgh. We want change in California. We want revival to come to this land. When it's darkest, the grace of God is stronger. So we want the grace of God to manifest, deliver people from their sins. Stand to your feet. Thank you for your offerings tonight. Thank you for listening. But we're not just the normal church on the block. We believe we're here for a reason, for a purpose, and that is fulfilled. The hope of God's calling for this community that he has raised us up in. We want people to come to the saving knowledge of the truth and live the life that God has ordained for them to live for the glory of God. It's the best life ever. Amen. Let's grab the offering baskets, brethren. Father, as we pray for the offering, we pray for the city of Antioch. We lift up Mayor Sean Wright. We lift up Pro Tem Mayor Motz. We lift up Councilman Thorpe, we lift up Councilwoman Wilson and Councilwoman Orgachok. We plead your blood over their lives, Lord God. We pray, Father, that these individuals will have some spiritual fortitude and backbone in doing what is right. Father, if we were to question them and ask them about salvation, they would say that they're saved. They would say they have a relationship with you. And while we're not condemning them, we're not judging them, we question their fidelity. Master, strengthen them. We pray that they will have the boldness to do what is right, so that it doesn't contradict your word or your way of saving humanity. We pray for every person that represented the community of LGBTQ that was there last night, and all of those that are in this community. We pray for the salvation of their soul. And that, Father, if they believe that they are saved, that, Lord, they will repent of the errors of their way, even as we have had to repent of the errors of our way. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's what your word tells us. So, Father, may that be spoken in the assemblies where they attend. May that be spoken, Lord, in the meetings that they hold, that truth will prevail and revival shall come to this land. We thank you for every person that got up and spoke, Lord God, saying that they didn't want the flag up. We thank you for their courage and their boldness, and every person that was in agreement with them. We thank you for their attendance and their support, and every person that was opposed and they wanted that flag raised. We pray for your mercy and your grace to come upon them. We pray, Master, that you'll be glorified in all of this mess that we're going through in our cities, in our states, and in the nation and the world, Lord God. All of this that is going on throughout the land and around the world, we pray for divine intervention. We pray for breakthrough, Master. We pray for dignitaries. We pray for leaders. We pray for presidents and kings and rulers who are in authority. Father, we pray that they would have a humble heart. We pray for our Congress, the House of Representatives and the senators. We pray for the President of the United States and his cabinet members. We pray for the judicial branch. We pray for the governors of the states. We pray for the state assemblies and the Senate. We pray, Master, for our Supreme Courts at the state level. We pray for our local judicial branches, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for city councilmen all over the land, Lord God. Father, that they will stand up for truth and stand up for righteousness. Embolden those who do, that they are not alone and that others are praying for them. Strengthen those, Lord God, who want to see a change, want to see something different happen, something good and something glorious. Every grieving heart, every person that prays and intercedes, strengthen them that they don't give up, that they grow not weary in their well-doing, but that you give them the spirit of intercession and drive us, Lord, to that place, to where the heavens open and the power and glory of God come upon our nation, our cities, our states, come upon us once again in such a way, a marvelous way, that sinners are converted unto you by the millions and the billions, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray against the division, the strife, and the contention, the hatred, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment. We pray against, Lord God, those things, and release the love and the joy and the peace and the power and the glory of God over our land, the unity, the oneness, Lord God, in you, in Christ Jesus. Oh, Master, move sovereignly. Move sovereignly over our land. Bring the church to the place of prayer and the place of unity, that as you and Jesus are one, that we will be one, and that we will be one in you and you in us. Make us one, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. As we stand against the principalities and powers and the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, that we stand, as we stand against all manner of evil, strengthen your church, that we're not divided, but we're united. We embrace the truth of your word. We embrace the spirit of truth to dispel the spirit of error. In the name of Jesus, wherever this goes, whoever hears it, that he that hath an ear will hear what the Spirit of the Lord hath to say unto the churches and unto the community in which you've planted and established us. Bless these offerings now. Bless the finances of your sons and daughters. Grant them prosperity. Grant them peace. Grant them strength and wisdom. Bless them, Lord God. Keep your hand upon them. Bless whatever they set their hands to do. Grant jobs, raises, promotions, bonuses, incentives, unexpected income. Let it come in, Lord God. Let it come in, Father. Let there be increase for your sons and daughters. Let them come into raises that they did not know about. Let them come into bonuses that they had not even considered, Lord God. Let them see the glory of God and that it all be used for your glory. So bless these offerings and bless your people. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell, the powers and authorities of hell, will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over them, because you're the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, the foundation, the mainstay, the prop and support of the truth. The Lord bless you everywhere you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful evening. We love you. Amen. Thank you, Facebook Live, for tuning in. We bless you in Jesus' name. We pray that you enjoy it tonight, and we'll see you Sunday. Hallelujah.